from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, we are live up here at Lake Lanier Islands, and you're going, Dukes and Bell, what are you guys doing up there? Well, I'm glad you asked.
Hey, man, it was day one of the 99 The Game Summer Games as our producers battled, and Team Dukes gets the early advantage in the axe throwing competition as Dylan, who knew, was quite the woodsman. And they beat my team, and they beat them pretty handily. We're at Game Changer, guys. Over 50 video games. We just talked about the axe throwing virtual sports suites. This, and I know we're talking all about the games and the stuff. I think everybody who's come up here from the radio station has been blown away by how good the food is. The food's amazing. Chef Tom, some of the photos are up. I mean, that burger you've had, I mean, some of the best burgers.
Oh, it was great.
I mean, great pastas and amazing. I mean, everything from fried shrimp to delicious wings and a whole shebang from diddly I do to damned if I know up here at Game Changer at Lake Lanier Island. So if you're a member, if you got your pass for the summer, it's something to think about with your entire family. Or you can always go on their website called RSVP. You get a voucher at the gate, and then you'll get $20 credit for food and beverage. Or the games itself. It's been a blast up here. We met some really nice people. One of our loyal listeners, by the way, look who's here.
Yes, sir.
Normally we see him at Taj Mahooters.
We were just talking. He says he lives fairly close, Mike. He was like, he's going to come over tomorrow to right. Pickleball and social and hang out with us in Margaritaville as the summer games continue here
right
over the next few days. And by the way, catering and package options here, they do a lot of different stuff. Big parties, right? Maybe you're planning a big party, bachelor party, whatever. This is a great space to do it in. So just so you guys know, it's more than just the gaming and all right. the stuff that they have and the TVs. This can handle pretty much any event. All right, man, let's talk about what's going on. First and foremost, before we get into the Falcons, Mike, Braves win last night. We're going to talk to Grant McCauley about this coming up a little bit later this hour. But it's four in a row. They went 6-2. We talked about averaging over 5.5 runs during this win streak. And bottom line is, guys, Chris Sale has been everything that we could – I think he's been more than what we could have expected.
Right.
12 wins now. He pitched 5 1/3 last night. Duvall goes deep. I just think, Mike, things seem like they're coming together. I don't want to jump the gun here.
Right.
But this might be our best stretch that we've had, considering you beat the Phillies, you're beating a very good D-backs team, next up is San Diego, then you go to the All-Star break. This might get us back in the hunt, potentially, for this division.
I know that we've been waiting for this team to get on that run you're talking about. Last night, I thought that's our best pitcher, man. That's the dude's
Gallen.
Bringing it.
Yep.
And I thought the Braves showed you that, Sale, and he talked about, we'll play some of that audio a little bit later. You hear Grant with us at 540. Sale struggled early. Pitch count went up. Still found a way to grind. And then the bullpen did a nice job. Minter, by the way, because Iglesias pitched 2 innings the other night, did a nice job. But more clutch hitting, more of what we've been waiting for. And this is the kind of stuff that we're so used to seeing. We saw it all of last year, the last 3 years, saw it in April. But the kind of games we've played in Arizona, we've been missing
yes.
the last 2 months.
That's it. And so feeling good about where the Braves are and where they're going. Grant's on the way a little bit later on. And also, we had a great conversation earlier in the show as we continue to take you around, as we get to the Falcon Report, around the NFL. Teams that are on our schedule. Seattle Seahawks are on our schedule. They come to town October 20th. And we talked to the voice of the Seattle Seahawks today. Great stuff, great information, Mike. You asked him a great question at the end about Russell Wilson, who we'll see at the beginning of the season against the Steelers. But stick around, because that conversation will happen in the 6 o'clock hour for those of you who missed it. Let's talk about what's going on with the Falcons. We still have question marks as we are literally 2 weeks away from the start of training camp. one of the biggest question marks, and I don't know if our new defensive coordinator is going to be able to answer this from day one. Mike, I think they just have to let it play out. But a lot of publications are projecting Mike Hughes as the Falcons' defensive sleeper.
Now, what?
Let's talk about Mike Hughes for a second, right? Is he even a starter at cornerback or even as a nickel? Because that's really a big question mark right now. We think it's going to be Clark Phillips, right? We think it's going to be Clark Phillips opposite
AJ Terrell,
of AJ Terrell. Safeties, we kind of get a sense of what that's going to look like. But is Mike Hughes going to be a sleeper for our defense?
Well, I mean, unless they're going to find something in him, which other teams have not been able to find. This guy was a seventh-round selection. I'm sorry, check that. He was traded with a seventh-round selection. He's moving around a little bit, but this guy initially was in the first round drafted by the Vikings. He was there. He was in Kansas City. They got traded over there with a seventh-rounder, then with the Lions. So he's bounced around a little bit. This is the argument with all of the guys in that cornerback room. He's only got three picks in his career since 2018.
It's not enough.
So unless you're going to crank this guy up and turn him into Darnell Green or something, I don't know what's going on. Darryl Green.
Darryl Green.
Or Darnell. Darnell Green at this point would be good. But I just don't know where some of this production is coming from, unless what A.J. Terrell told us, the way this system is going to work with Jimmy Lake's defense, something new is going to happen, which gets production out of these guys. That's a bit much.
It is. And again, I don't want to necessarily tell you that ain't happening. It's just hard for me to believe that he's going to be a sleeper from the standpoint of at the end of next season, we're saying, man, we're so glad that we had Mike Hughes and the things that he brought to the defense. Maybe he is. And maybe, again, to Mike's point, they're going to use him in a different way and allow him to be more free in this defense. But Hughes and Clark Phillips are reportedly the two defensive backs that are set to battle at camp. And that's the question mark. We don't know what that's going to be until we get to camp and figure it out.
And I know we've talked about this. We're the second smallest amount of cap space in the NFL. So we don't have a lot of cap space. $3 million in change. Now, you could restructure some guys, move money in the form of bonuses with Lindstrom and Jake or whoever else to create some space. But there's just better corners out there than anybody not named A.J. Terrell right now in this room that are out there available for one-year deals. That's the thing. It's not like you're going to break the bank on some of these. Now, yes, you'd have to move some money around, Carl, but I don't know. We've gone round and round on this with Bryant McFadden and a couple other guys. I just feel, man, why are we doing something about this? I mean, for instance, Xavier Howard, Adoree Jackson, Stephon Gilmore, Patrick Peterson. Patrick Peterson steps in, he's the second-best corner in that room as Clark Phillips learns the NFL game.
Yeah, he is. And, Mike, this just may be the Falcons saying we're going to go young and we're gonna figure it out. And you know what? At this point in their careers, any of the guys you just named, and by the way, I would take two of those guys right now. The others, you know, it's a coin toss because you just wonder what's left in the tank. But I saw enough of Patrick Peterson to know he could definitely step in here and give you some run and play well for you. Either way, it's one of the big question marks. Guys, here's where I will tell you this right now before we get to camp. We won't be talking a whole lot about quarterback because we know what that's going to look like. We want to see Penix. I don't know how many reps he's going to get with the first team, Mike.
Right.
If you're trying to get Kirk Cousins ready, that's number one. Running back situation, we know what it is. It's Bijan, it's Tyler Algier. The thing about Pitts and Drake and Darnell Mooney, what's up, Darnell? We know what that is. Your offensive line, we know what that is. A lot of the stuff we're going to be discussing, Mike, is going to be on the defensive side of the ball because that's what we got to figure out.
The offensive line, I know we've talked about Dahlman. You never hear anybody in the coaches have questioned Dahlman's ability, so they're obviously satisfied with the middle. Bergeron, we know, is great. Jake is solid, if not spectacular. We have our doubts about McGarry, but the good news is Storm Norton is a serviceable backup. You didn't really miss anything when he came in, and Lindstrom is the gold standard. So they're going to protect Kirk. Kirk's going to do the play action, open things up. All those picks we talked about yesterday will be validated. You're right. It's edge rush. Where is the pass rush coming from, and how are you going to protect those guys, which we just mentioned it could probably be upgraded in that cornerback room? That's why, for all the things we did, not drafting a corner early was surprising to me, or at least trying to address it in free agency. That gets back to the chicken and the egg with Cousins and Penix. Just go with Penix, have your confidence, get a better backup for him, and go pay for some studs that you know are Pro Bowl caliber.
404-726-0929. Hit us up. Let us know what you think. That is our text line. Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes and the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. Follow the radio station at 929. The game is we're live, broadcasting live from Lake Lanier Islands at Game Changer. Coming up, strong arm story of the day. We got to play what DJ said today in regards to our Hawks. And again, as we play that for you, you may say, well, they didn't say anything. I'm going to tell you, I think he's throwing a little shade, and I think he's doing it in a way that, hey, I'm not going to directly tell you what I'm saying here. You either figure it out or you don't. But, Mike, one of the things he said, and I'm going to tell you this. He called a guy in the room today as he was talking about the Pelicans their superstar. He never said that here.
No, but they did do a video with our superstar and their best buddies, so there'll be some certain fans of our superstar will say, no, he's not talking about Trey. But you guys can read through it or read through the lines if you can. The bottom line is he's signing off on something you and I have said a gazillion times on this radio station. Coach Nate said it. Lloyd Pierce said it.
He did.
Quinn mumbles it occasionally. We don't play defense. We never have played defense on this team. And DeJounte apparently takes pride in his defense. Was he a great defender here?
I don't think he was.
I mean, he's one of the better defenders on this team, but really say much.
He was probably one of the better defenders. There's no doubt about that. All I would say is I don't think we let him live up to his potential because he didn't necessarily guard the best teams, the opposing team's defender
and you'll hear
or offensive player.
In the soundbite, you'll hear that because that's apparently a bone of contention between him and the coaching staff.
Well, I got to tell you this. That particular game, and I can say this now, is in Chicago, and DeMar DeRozan is going off. And literally,
this is the play-in game.
DJ's like, let me guard him.
Right.
And they said, well, we need you for, you know, we need you for your offense. Mm-hmm. He took offense to that. He's like, look, great players guard other great players. Right. Let me go guard this
guy. By the way, on a team where nobody wants to do any defense, I'm willing to take this challenge on, right?
Yeah.
Look. And by the way, they were never going to trade Trey. We talked about this earlier. They lose too much goodwill with the fan base. But this team, as it's presently compromised, trying to find the scoring. We'll listen to what first DeJounte had to say, because for my money, it says more about the issues. We talk about the culture. We've heard Landry Fields use that phrase, trying to create an ethos. It really establishes our team has no culture, has no ethos, and has no work ethic when it comes to playing defense.
That's our superstar. I'll tell you who he was talking about. Mm. And what DeJounte Murray had to say about this deal coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foy & Associates Personal Injury Law.
I like DeJounte Murray a lot. I wish him luck in New Orleans.
The K.
countdown to college football on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get a ton of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
And as Mike and I continue to get ready for the start of training camp, which is 2 weeks away today, we've been going around the league talking to our guys in various cities, and today we go to Seattle to talk to Steve Rabel, who is the voice of the Seattle Seahawks. We actually play them, guys, October 20th, okay? Seahawks come here, and Steve, it's good to have you back on the show. Let's talk about first some of the changes with the team. We know Geno's back. We know DK Metcalf is back. But what did you think of their draft, and did they address some of the things they needed to address?
Well, first of all, hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I think they did. And let's put at the top of that list of changes, a new head coach in Mike McDonald, a new philosophy, new coordinators. So it all starts really there, because as soon as Mike hit the ground running when he was hired, it was his ideas, first of all, how they're going to build this defense, which then led to some of the players drafted. And I'm talking specifically about, their first-round draft choice, Murphy, defensive tackle. He is a terrific young football player, and I think only going to get better in McDonald's system. Added to the defensive front, which was kind of an issue last year. We missed a lot of tackles. That's going to be better. We've got a whole new group of linebackers coming in, and some pass rushers that can do the job. So I think philosophically, I think Mike McDonald is going to be a real good fit for, A, what the Seahawks want to do, and B, the kind of players that they already have.
Steve Rabel's with us, guys, play-by-play voice of the Seahawks here on the WadeFord.com hotline. It is pretty interesting how they put the coaching staff together, Steve. Ryan Grubb was going to Alabama, and all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, I got a chance to be the Seahawks offensive coordinator. We know what he did with Penix. What's he going to do with Geno?
Well, first of all, it's interesting. I was out at a number of the mini camp practices and the OTAs and watching, and just to see how Mike, kind of organized his practice, what he focused on, what his coaches focused on. The biggest things that I can tell you offensively is A, the detail, the attention to detail, and the coaching of those points is really phenomenal, and that's something that Ryan Grubb has always done. He's been successful everywhere he's been with his system. Now, he's the first one to admit that everything that he did at the UW last year and the year before, I mean, they had the best passing offense in all of college football. That might not all work in the NFL. You're not playing against guys who would be free agent pickups who might come on at midseason with a team in the Arena League. You're talking about the best players at their spots that you ever faced in college. So it could be a little bit different there. But I think he's got Geno thinking in terms of, A, reading, which Geno has always been good at doing, getting the ball out of his hands, relying on his receivers to make the plays for him, and be explosive. That's the thing I notice a lot about our practices is the practice on those explosive plays. Get guys downfield. Get them into position to make plays. We know Geno can throw a good deep ball. So I think that's going to be really interesting. And I think we'll see a use of the running backs more than perhaps we have the last couple of years in those passing situations.
Yeah, and I like Kenneth Walker and company. Steve Rabel joining us. He's the voice of the Seattle Seahawks, talking about our Falcons taking on the Seahawks in October as we go around the league, guys, taking a look at our schedule. All right, so, as we talk about specifically the offensive weapons, this is a 9-win team last year. It could have been a 10 or 11-win team. I watched some of these games, Steve. You guys are right there in some of these games. Do you take the next step this season? Because a lot of people say, hey, the Rams surprised everybody last year. We know the 49ers are going to be good. Does this team take the next step?
Well, certainly there are a lot of 12s out here who are hoping so. I mean, the letting Pete Carroll go was a tough decision by the team ownership. And for a lot of fans, I mean, it was an emotional experience for fans out here when Pete was, taken out of the head coaching spot. Mike McDonald has a lot to prove in that way, but I've met him, I've talked to him now a number of times. He is a terrific young coach, and I think one of the things that happens, and I've been around, well, in 2 years it'll be 50 years with the Seahawks organization as a player and a broadcaster, so I've kind of been around the NFL for a while, And every head coach I've ever talked to, from Mike Holmgren to Chuck Knox and all the rest, will tell you the same kind of thing. And that is, after about 10 years, that message starts to get a little bit old. Even though you're transitioning players, new players through there, that message and that philosophy starts to get a little bit dated. And this young man, Mike McDonald, has a terrific wealth of knowledge, and he's a great teacher. I think our team will be better because of that. I think we're going to have guys, especially on defense, that are going to be a little younger, a little faster, and with the defensive system Mike wants to play, I think they'll fit better. But you're right. I mean, and this is all about not what you did last year, not the fact that we won a Super Bowl after the 2013 season. It's all about what have you done lately. And so they have to improve. And as you mentioned, you know, we're in a division that's pretty tough. The Niners did not get worse over the offseason, and the Rams only got better. So this makes it a tough row to hoe for the Seahawks.
I know that looking outside Seattle, you'd say, the Geno Smith story, it's a nice story. The guy advanced from being sort of a placeholder like a Tyrod Taylor, where he bounced around, the ignominious start. Remember the green room with the draft, that's finally right. getting his contract. But can he break through to the next level and be, a championship-level quarterback?
Yeah, I think he can. And I think a lot of it is going to have to do with, we talked about changes. We're going to be a different team offensively up front. And Mike McDonald really builds, and he's learned this, I think, over his years of coaching, although he's literally half the age of Pete Carroll when he took the job here at 36, McDonald. So, but in that extensive experience, especially with the Harbaugh brothers, his philosophy of starting up front on both sides of the ball, our offensive line has got to play better, and I think they will. We've been kind of shaky, the two guards in the center. We had four different starting day one centers in the last 5 years. Center is one of the most important positions, if not the most important, besides the left tackle on that offensive front. And so we've never really settled on a guy. Hopefully we have settled on one now. And Oluwatimi, who is a second-year player, he's a good one. Man, he is huge. So if we can play better up front offensively, that's going to make Geno better, going to give him better protection, give him a little more time to read, to throw, to step into the throw. He was forced out of the pocket a lot last year, and he did a pretty good job, but he was sacked a fair amount of the time because he just didn't have time to get rid of the football. So I hope that's going to be, and I know that's got to be one of the big keys for the Seahawks to be successful this season.
Steve, what are they saying about Byron Murphy? Hook him. Because he was the best interior defensive lineman allegedly on the board. We think we got a good one here in Ruka in Atlanta. But I know Byron Murphy from watching him at Texas. He's a hell of a player. What are they saying about him coming out of OTAs and mandatory minicamp?
Well, first of all, he is just a stack of steel when you look at him. I mean, he is like almost as wide as he is tall, but it's all muscle. And he is so, so quick. And he's explosive and violent. My broadcast partner, Dave Wyman, is a former linebacker, so he loves to talk about defensive players being violent, and that's Byron Murphy. His hands are like meat hooks, and he just grabs you and throws you aside. And he's fun to watch in practice. Now, when I talked to Mike during OTAs, after practice, when I said, hey, so-and-so looked good and such looked great, and he said, yeah, that's all fine and good. But he said, let's wait till we put the pads on. It's when you start hitting people that you find out about guys. And, you know, kind of having been there for as long as I did, including, as you guys know, at Georgia Tech back in the days of leather helmets when I played back there. it really doesn't start until you start hammering each other, until you start beating each other up a little bit and see how you handle that. I think this guy is going to be terrific. And right now, he's actually listed, although there's not an official depth chart, but he's kind of the backup right now because we've got some guys who can really play up front already. We re-signed Leonard Williams. Jaron Reed is a great veteran. Maybe the guy to come out of OTAs with the best chance of being a really impact defensive player this year is Draymond Jones. So we've got some good defensive players up front, and Murphy only makes us better.
Steve Rabel with us, guys, who, by the way, did play for Pepper Rogers back on the flats back in the day, joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Apologize, I think I said earlier, Carl, the AFC West. They used to be in the AFC West. They're one of our at-large NFC opponents, along with the Vikings. We're previewing everybody on the schedule. All right, Steve, since we do start with the Steelers in week one, did you ever anticipate Russell Wilson's career arc going the way it has?
Wow, I didn't. And I think if you asked a lot of people, they'd probably tell you the same thing. And you know, it's not all that uncommon. I mean, you when you achieve such heights as a player, and especially at that position, quarterback, at some point there's only one way to go. And especially if you're with a team, the whole situation for Denver last year was really difficult. Dave Logan, their play-by-play guy, is a really good friend of mine, and it was just a mess back there between a first-year coach. And then Russell kind of doing things the way Russell did things. And that just didn't work last season. And so they shipped him off, and now he's with Pittsburgh. And Tomlin, I think, has a good chance of kind of instilling some confidence back in Russell, who's never been at a loss for confidence, but also the kind of understanding that all you have to do is play within our system. You don't have to be the guy you were when you were 24, running around making plays like a crazy man and winning football games on your own. You don't have to do that. But this is kind of the last stop, I think, on the train for Russ. So if this one doesn't work out, I'm not sure where he's going to end up or what he's going to do. But he's got a good chance there, again, because of a guy like Tomlin, who is very focused on team. And I think that's going to be the real key for Russ.
Steve, it's great talking with you. You do a great job. Congratulations on a long, illustrious career there and calling the games. And we look forward to seeing you here in the ATL when the Seahawks come to town. Thanks for the input.
Thanks, guys. And say hi to Wes Durham, my old buddy. I will see him as well when we get there.
Man, good dude, man. Yeah, who did play, as we said earlier, at Georgia Tech back in the 70s. We love Steve. Good dude. Hey, man, some breaking news real quick. U.S. men's national team. Carl and I were talking about it earlier, waiting for that decision. It came down. Greg Berhalter is out as the manager of the U.S. men's national team. Really worried that they were going to try to slow roll this decision and maybe would lose momentum. But American fans, I mean, they were up in arms over this. And a lot of the big money fans apparently were as well. So we'll talk more about that at 6. You will hear what DeJounte Murray had to say about his former teammates and their lack of defensive commitment. But next, live from Game Changer here at Lake Lanier Islands, Grant McCauley talking about the Braves getting it done against those snakes.
AIM.
It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Let's talk to Grant McCauley because the Braves are heating up. It is Dukes and Bell. We're live at Game Changer right here at Lake Lanier Islands. Guys, round one. We've got two more rounds of our summer games. Tomorrow we'll be over at Pickleball and Social. And then on Friday at Margaritaville here at Lake Lanier Islands. So
I bet you Grant McCauley could throw an axe better than my team.
Well, down one. Team Bell to Team Dukes. We'll tell you more about the results of what happened today. Grant, what about the results of last night? Chris Sale, how do you describe what we've gotten from him this season?
Well, I mean, Chris Sale's been throwing a pretty good axe all year long, I would say. And whatever the case, like this chapter of his career and the way that he has stepped forward and is producing at vintage Chris Sale levels has been a huge reason for Atlanta's success. It's a huge reason he's an all-star. It's a huge reason, as I talked about earlier today, that he's probably the front runner for Cy Young Award in the National League. So it's been quite a performance, turn back the clock, whatever you want to call it, but the Braves have needed every bit of what Chris Sale's been able to give them, and they're hoping for just a little bit more here over the next few months.
I tell you what, man, knowing a guy doesn't have his A game and finds a way as Chris Sale did, and again, more of the clutch. I know, Grant, we've keep going round and round about who's going to be the guy who steps up. When we were winning the last 3 years, when we were winning in April, every night somebody else steps up. Last night, Duvall has the big night. Kelnick 2-for-5. Duvall goes 3-for-3 with the big home run. That's what we missed, right? And is it contagious? I know when we were asking you week after week, it can't get any worse. Do you feel the worm has turned?
Yeah, well, and I also look at it, and maybe this is just kind of something I hadn't really thought about before, because, you know, when you do talk to guys and everything's going well and then the whole team gets rolling and somebody eventually says it, oh, yeah, you know, hitting's contagious. Well, maybe whatever they had the first 3 months was also contagious. I don't know. But
putting all of that aside, I mean, what they needed was different guys at different times. It can't just be Marcell Ozuna for 162 games and very little help. We've seen that that's not a sustainable model for scoring runs. But I also looked at it to kind of, you know, you can play out that other phrase, can it get any worse? You know, for Adam Duvall, it was perplexing. I did not understand a guy who was historically in his career has such power, has been good against righties, and maybe not so good against lefties. It was the exact reverse this year. In fact, it was worse. So having somebody like that come around, Jared Kelnick really hitting his stride in the leadoff spot. Ozzie Albies has been swinging the bat better lately. We've talked about Austin Riley's last 3-4 weeks. That's starting to look good. And, you know, I was talking about it earlier today with the Midday Show guys. You get Matt Olson going, all of a sudden you've got more of what you saw last year. And I know without Ronald Acuna Jr., it's going to look different, feel different, play different, all those things. But there's still plenty of talent amongst this group.
Grant McCauley joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we are talking about our Braves. Series continues tonight. The thing that kind of stood out for me, and I don't know, I mean, you talk about Sean Murphy, we talked about him earlier in the week, mm-hmm. RBI ground out, gets Ozuna home. Some of the guys we've been talking about are starting to kind of, you know, get to where we want them to be. Murphy's one of them. Kelnick had two hits, right? That's key. And again, I just want to go into the All-Star break feeling good. I feel like this might be our best stretch. Do you agree?
Yeah, and feel free to put Sean Murphy in that list of guys I was talking about earlier, that once they start going, then all of a sudden the lineup looks and feels and plays like it did a year ago. And then you can put Michael Harris's return kind of in that mix as well, because he's going to be back, and that is going to change the dynamic as well, because all of a sudden you go from, well, maybe a couple of guys are hitting, but a couple of guys aren't, and then there's this big, disjointed, you know, gap between basically at least six or seven in the lineup, nine, and then when it turns back over, trying to get some productivity going there. Murphy, Duvall could play a part there. Michael Harris could play a part somewhere in the lineup. I don't even know where they put him right now, to be honest with you, because I think he could hit just about anywhere. But that's going to be a good problem to have. And then they can start thinking about, what do we need to add? Where can we get it? And all of the things that go with the Major League Baseball trade deadline. So I do, Carl, think that they've finally gotten into a place where we're starting to see some real, I think, evidence that would back up the fact that this is a club that is better than it has played at times this year and still has the ability to, I think, take that step forward and finally hit its stride.
Grant McCauley is with us, guys, on the WaitForIt.com hotline. We'll talk about tonight's matchup with Charlie Morton against the Serpientes. those uniforms are god-awful last night. When does Austin Riley go on a tear? It's almost like it's been like sort of like little not false starts, but when does he get sustained and getting back to like, you know, like MVP caliber, if not National League team MVP caliber stats?
I feel like he's been there for about 3-4 weeks. I think it's 8 home runs, 9 home runs in his last 22 or 23 games, hitting close to .380. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know what else he can do beyond that. I mean, I'm sure he could find something else to do, but, you know, it's not necessarily just going to be, you know, a 30-game hitting streak per se. But I feel like Austin Riley has really gotten his season on track after two very frustrating months, plus that really aggravating side injury that kept him, you know, on the bench for two solid weeks, even though he didn't land on the injury list. The Braves didn't have him, and it certainly derailed his season. So I do feel like Austin has found, you know, what he's been looking for. But, yeah, I mean, an Austin Riley hot streak, a huge series. He's swung the bat extremely well against Arizona, particularly in their park. You know, who's to say what he'll do on the rest of this road trip? But I think as far as what he needed to see going into the proverbial halfway point of the year and what the Braves certainly needed to see out of him, Austin Riley has started to answer that question far more often than not.
And by the way, Grant, in your defense and my stupidity, he has got an OPS of .1043 right now in the 8 games so far this month. So he's definitely turned that
corner. That'll play.
Yeah.
That will definitely play.
Let's talk about Morton. 5-5, 3.96 ERA. You know, if you're going to – and by the way, I don't know, who's the stopper on this team? Is it Sale? Is it Ronaldo Lopez?
It's Sale.
Okay.
For me,
all right. So Morton then tonight, and again, you could win this series. This is a 4-game set, guys, with the D-backs. But Morton tonight, and Mike and I were saying this, you know, Grant, sometimes these records are not a true indicator of how good a guy has been. Do you say the same thing when it comes to Morton? 5-5, and you go, eh, but he's been better than that, right?
Yeah, and there's kind of been this Jekyll and Hyde dynamic for Charlie at times where, you know, if he's dialed in and missing bats and really able to limit his walks, he has the opportunity to go out there and be the guy that we've seen really in the latter half of his career when he became one of the better strikeout pitchers in baseball. It's just there's been, I think, a step forward, a step back, maybe a couple of good starts, then a clunker. But I've said this a lot, and I don't know if this is a compliment. I certainly mean it as complimentary. But if Charlie Morton is your fourth starter is an issue, there are about 29 other clubs that would love to be talking about that because good pitching and veterans and those kind of guys are hard to find. And I think that, you know, Charlie is capable of going out there and doing it. I think he has a lot of value inside the walls of that clubhouse from an experience standpoint, and he can still go out there and post. So a chance to win that series, you stole game one from them, you beat their ace in game two, you pretty much have the Diamondbacks where you want them to take three out of four in that series and carry that momentum on over to San Diego, which is another club in that wild card hunt.
Not going to ask you about Nacho and Gwinnett. Not going to do it. But it's funny. Arcia last night.
Did you say
Nacho Alvarez? Real quick, I know it's funny. We debated at the time. Wow, can't believe Dansby was willing to take a hometown discount. Grant, is Dansby like Jeff Blauser 2.0 when you consider the money he got from Chicago and the results right now?
I think Jeff Blauser would love to have signed Dansby's contract. But, I mean, in terms of the parallels overall, I just looked at it as, you know, the Braves, they had a particular number that they were comfortable with on that deal, and the Chicago Cubs came in and vastly surpassed it. So, if you guys had him on the show, I know he would like to have stayed in Atlanta if it made sense, but he wasn't going to do it for 40% less. And I don't think that should be the expectation of players throughout their career either, to go get the free agency and say, you know what, I could get more by going out there and actually signing this deal, but I'll just take less in order to, and not just less, but like substantially less to just stay put. That's just not a real expectation in free agency. So I don't really know what the answer to the question is other than, you know, you have to feel good for Dansby that he got the deal that he did. But, yeah, it's been a struggle at the plate for him. He's been enigmatic in that way. He's still
team's
an elite defender,
though.
A great shortstop.
No,
but, the consistency factor has been a big question.
But Arcia, is this as good as it's going to be this year with Arcia?
I would hope that he could find just some way to just be a little bit more consistent. And I don't mean providing power and knocking in a ton of runs, but I feel like he's just approach overall. And you can see the frustration has certainly taken a hold of him because, as I said, I think last week, I've seen more bats getting slammed and helmets getting thrown than I can remember of any Braves team that I've covered or even as a fan. These guys just don't typically seem to be that affected by it. But some of the frustration, some of the pressing, and all of the things that have gone into their, you know, two-plus-month slump that they were in, I think as a collective offense for guys not named Marcelo Zuna, it started to add up. So as you look at ways that the Braves could try to get better offensively, yeah, shortstop's a position that they could look at. Who it would be, I don't really know yet exactly what that deal would look like. Alex Anthopoulos can certainly work some magic, but I know they like Orlando Arcia, but I also know that they would like to have an offense that's clicking. And if it is, more times than not, you're not even worried about what he's doing, but that just hasn't been the case this year, up and down the order.
Grant, great job. As always, we'll see what happens tonight. Hopefully we win this series with the win tonight, and then we'll, they'll try to salvage one in the fourth game, and then it's on to San Diego. Thanks so much, Grant. We'll talk tomorrow.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
All right, guys, it's Dukes and Bell again live at Game Changer Lake Lanier Islands. It is our day one of our summer games, which was axe throwing today, and we are up.
Aim.
It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Let's talk to Grant McCauley because the Braves are heating up. It is Dukes and Bell. We're live at Game Changer right here at Lake Lanier Islands. Guys, round one. We've got two more rounds of our summer games. Tomorrow we'll be over at Pickleball and Social. And then on Friday at Margaritaville here at Lake Lanier Islands. So
I bet you Grant McCauley could throw an axe better than my team.
Well, down one. Team Bell to Team Dukes. We'll tell you more about the results of what happened today. Grant, what about the results of last night? Chris Sale, how do you describe what we've gotten from him this season?
Well, I mean, Chris Sale's been throwing a pretty good axe all year long, I would say. And whatever the case, like this chapter of his career and the way that he has stepped forward and is producing at vintage Chris Sale levels has been a huge reason for Atlanta's success. It's a huge reason he's an all-star. It's a huge reason, as I talked about earlier today, that he's probably the front runner for Cy Young Award in the National League. So it's been quite a performance, turn back the clock, whatever you want to call it. But the Braves have needed every bit of what Chris Sale's been able to give them, and they're hoping for just a little bit more here over the next few months.
I tell you what, man, knowing a guy doesn't have his A game and finds a way as Chris Sale did, and again, more of the clutch. I know, Grant, we've keep going round and round about who's going to be the guy who steps up. When we were winning the last 3 years, when we were winning in April, every night somebody else steps up. Last night, Duvall has the big night. Kelnick 2-for-5. Duvall goes 3-for-3 with the big home run. That's what we missed, right? And is it contagious? I know when we were asking you week after week, it can't get any worse. You feel the worm has turned?
Yeah, well, and I also look at it, and maybe this is just kind of something I hadn't really thought about before, because, you know, when you do talk to guys and everything's going well and then the whole team gets rolling and somebody eventually says it, oh, yeah, you know, hitting's contagious. Well, maybe whatever they had the first 3 months was also contagious. I don't know. But putting all of that aside, I mean, what they needed was different guys at different times. It can't just be Marcell Ozuna for 162 games and very little help. We've seen that that's not a sustainable model for scoring runs. But I also looked at it to kind of, you know, you can play off that other phrase, can it get any worse? You know, for Adam Duvall, it was perplexing. I did not understand a guy who was historically in his career has such power, has been good against righties and maybe not so good against lefties. It was the exact reverse this year. In fact, it was worse. So having somebody like that come around, Jared Kelnick really hitting his stride in the leadoff spot. Ozzie Albies has been swinging the bat better lately. We've talked about Austin Riley's last 3-4 weeks. That's starting to look good. And, you know, I was talking about it earlier today with the Midday Show guys. You get Matt Olson going, all of a sudden you've got more of what you saw last year. And I know without Ronald Acuna Jr., it's going to look different, feel different, play different, all those things. But there's still plenty of talent amongst this group.
Grant McCauley joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we are talking about our Braves. Series continues tonight. The thing that kind of stood out for me, and I don't know, I mean, you talk about Sean Murphy. We talked about him earlier in the week. Mm-hmm. RBI ground out, gets Ozuna home. Some of the guys we've been talking about are starting to kind of, you know, get to where we want them to be. Murphy's one of them. Kelnick had two hits, right? That's key. And again, I just want to go into the All-Star break feeling good. I feel like this might be our best stretch. Do you agree?
Yeah, and feel free to put Sean Murphy in that list of guys I was talking about earlier, that once they start going, then all of a sudden the lineup looks and feels and plays like it did a year ago. And then you can put Michael Harris's return kind of in that mix as well, because he's going to be back, and that is going to change the dynamic as well, because all of a sudden you go from, well, maybe a couple of guys are hitting, but a couple of guys aren't. And then there's this big, disjointed, you know, gap between basically at least 6 or 7 in the lineup, 9, and then when it turns back over, trying to get some productivity going there. Murphy, Duvall could play a part there. Michael Harris could play a part somewhere in the lineup. I don't even know where they put him right now, to be honest with you, because I think he could hit just about anywhere. But that's going to be a good problem to have. And then they can start thinking about, what do we need to add? Where can we get it? And all of the things that go with the Major League Baseball trade deadline. So I do, Carl, think that they've finally gotten into a place where we're starting to see some real, I think, evidence that would back up the fact that this is a club that is better than it has played at times this year and still has the ability to, I think, take that step forward and finally hit its stride.
Grant McCauley's with us, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline. We'll talk about tonight's matchup with Charlie Morton against the Serpientes. those uniforms are god-awful last night. When does Austin Riley go on a tear? It's almost like it's been like sort of like little not false starts, but when does he get sustained and getting back to like, you know, like MVP caliber, if not National League team MVP caliber stats?
I feel like he's been there for about 3-4 weeks. I think it's 8 home runs, 9 home runs in his last 22 or 23 games. Hitting close to 380. So, I mean, I don't know what else he can do beyond that. I mean, I'm sure he could find something else to do. But, you know, it's not necessarily just going to be, you know, a 30-game hitting streak per se. But I feel like Austin Riley has really gotten his season on track after 2 very frustrating months, plus that really aggravating side injury that kept him, you know, on the bench for 2 solid weeks, even though he didn't land on the injury list. The Braves didn't have him, and it certainly derailed his season. So I do feel like Austin has found, you know, what he's been looking for. But, yeah, I mean, an Austin Riley hot streak, a huge series. He's swung the bat extremely well against Arizona, particularly in their park. You know, who's to say what he'll do on the rest of this road trip? But I think as far as what he needed to see going into the proverbial halfway point of the year and what the Braves certainly needed to see out of him, Austin Riley has started to answer that question far more often than not.
And by the way, Grant, in your defense and my stupidity, he has got an OPS of .1043 right now in the 8 games so far this month. So he's definitely turned
that'll
that corner.
That'll play.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that
no
will
doubt
definitely
about
play.
It. Let's talk about Morton, 5-5, 3.96 ERA. If you're going to – and by the way, I don't know, who's the stopper on this team? Is it Sale? Is it Ronaldo Lopez?
It's Sale.
Okay.
For me, yeah.
All right. So Morton then tonight, and again, you could win this series. This is a 4-game set, guys, with the D-backs. But Morton tonight, and Mike and I were saying this, you know, Grant, sometimes these records are not a true indicator of how good a guy has been. Do you say the same thing when it comes to Morton? 5-5, and you go, eh, but he's been better than that, right?
Yeah, and there's kind of been this Jekyll and Hyde dynamic for Charlie at times where, you know, if he's dialed in and missing bats and really able to limit his walks, he has the opportunity to go out there and be the guy that we've seen really in the latter half of his career when he became one of the better strikeout pitchers in baseball. It's just there's been, I think, a step forward, a step back, maybe a couple of good starts, then a clunker. But I've said this a lot, and I don't know if this is a compliment. I certainly mean it as complimentary. But if Charlie Morton is your fourth starter is an issue, there are about 29 other clubs that would love to be talking about that because good pitching and veterans and those kind of guys are hard to find. And I think that, you know, Charlie is capable of going out there and doing it. I think he has a lot of value inside the walls of that clubhouse from an experience standpoint, and he can still go out there and post. So a chance to win that series, you stole game one from them, you beat their ace in game two, you pretty much have the Diamondbacks where you want them to take 3 out of 4 in that series and carry that momentum on over to San Diego, which is another club in that wild card hunt.
Not going to ask you about Nacho and Gwinnett. Not going to do it. But it's funny. Arcia last night.
Did you say
Nacho Alvarez? Real quick, I know it's funny. We debated at the time. Wow, can't believe Dansby was willing to take a hometown discount. Grant, is Dansby like Jeff Blauser 2.0 when you consider the money he got from Chicago and the results right now?
I think Jeff Blauser would love to have signed Dansby's contract. But, I mean, in terms of the parallels overall, I just looked at it as, you know, the Braves, they had a particular number that they were comfortable with on that deal, and the Chicago Cubs came in and vastly surpassed it. So, if you guys had him on the show, I know he would like to have stayed in Atlanta if it made sense, but he wasn't going to do it for 40% less. And I don't think that should be the expectation of players throughout their career either, to go get the free agency and say, you know what, I could get more by going out there and actually signing this deal, but I'll just take less in order to, and not just less, but like substantially less to just stay put. That's just not a real expectation in free agency. So I don't really know what the answer to the question is other than, you know, you have to feel good for Dansby that he got the deal that he did. But, yeah, it's been a struggle at the plate for him. He's been enigmatic in that way. He's still
team's
an elite defender,
though.
A great shortstop.
No,
but, yeah, the consistency factor has been a big question.
But Arcia, is this as good as it's going to be this year with Arcia?
I would hope that he could find just some way to just be a little bit more consistent. And I don't mean providing power and knocking in a ton of runs, but I feel like it's just approach overall. And you can see the frustration has certainly taken a hold of him because, as I said, I think last week, I've seen more bats getting slammed and helmets getting thrown than I can remember of any Braves team that I've covered or even as a fan. These guys just don't typically seem to be that affected by it. But some of the frustration, some of the pressing, and all of the things that have gone into their, you know, 2-plus-month slump that they were in, I think as a collective offense for guys not named Marcelo Zuna, it started to add up. So as you look at ways that the Braves could try to get better offensively, yeah, shortstop's a position that they could look at. Who it would be, I don't really know yet exactly what that deal would look like. Alex Anthopoulos can certainly work some magic, but I know they like Orlando Arcia, but I also know that they would like to have an offense that's clicking. And if it is, more times than not, you're not even worried about what he's doing, but that just hasn't been the case this year, up and down the order.
Grant, great job. As always, we'll see what happens tonight. Hopefully we win this series with the win tonight, and then we'll, they'll try to salvage one in the fourth game, and then it's on to San Diego. Thanks so much, Grant. We'll talk tomorrow.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
All right, guys, it's Dukes and Bell again live at Game Changer Lake Lanier Islands. It is our day one of our summer games, which was axe throwing today, and we are up. Team Dukes 1-0 right now in this 3-day competition.
I don't want to keep calling out my team, but Garrett let me down today.
Are you putting the sole blame on him?
I went out on a limb for that youngster, and the young man, You know, not only did he not win, he nearly broke the TV screen above the X target in the pit. So that would probably cost the radio station some money. But anyway, we're going to bounce back tomorrow because I'm going to Day Day, my KG veteran.
All right.
Right? And we'll be out there at, I've been,
Pickleball and Social.
I've been butchering this name all day. So Pickleball and Social, Pickle and Social.
Pickle and Social.
Right. Up there in Buford, and that's where we'll be tomorrow for some more shenanigans and fun. And look forward to seeing all our Bufordians, our Gwinnesians, come join us.
All right. We told you that DeJounte Murray had some things to say. We're going to let you hear it coming up. Also, changes to the U.S. men's national team. We will tell you about that. We're talking soccer, guys, not hoops. And
well, there's a change there because somebody ain't going to Paris.
Yeah, that's true. And a guest that we had on earlier that we need you to hear. It's all on the way in the 6 o'clock hour here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at Odyssey.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.